Welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show. My name is Maggie Greschel. I am one of Drew's producers. He is out of the office today. He's helping his son move. So John Harper has been sitting in for him today. You might have heard him in this first hour. John and I were talking earlier, and we said, let's make sure that we pray for Drew and his back, because
that's right.
He tweaks it a lot of times. So let's make sure that that he's protected today while he and his son move. You know, we had Mass here today at Relevant Radio, and the priest was talking about the gospel today. He went over the Our Father, and he said, you know, a lot of times we can just recite this prayer by memory, rote, and just kind of skim over it as if it weren't that important. And he challenged us today to maybe just take one line of that prayer and really meditate on it all day. And the longer that you meditate on it, the more the mystery might reveal itself to you. And, you know, I've heard a lot of times that our view of God a lot of times can be of that just judge that we stand in front of, and that mercifully he acquits us of the punishments that we so deserve, which is true. But he is so much more than that. He wants us to see him as beloved children would see their father. Have you ever seen little ones waiting at the door when dad comes home from work to welcome daddy home? Or have them reach up and beg to be put on daddy's shoulders to see the world from a new vantage point? Children who think to consult their dad before making big decisions, or who need a pep talk from the one who knows them best? Do you see God in this light? We want to pray with that kind of heart today. Let's delight in the goodness of our Father. I'm praying today with John Harper. John, do you have anything you want to lift up today?
I just want to lift up all of those who are dealing with depression and sadness. The segment that we had earlier on today, with 42% of teens reporting that they're being depressed, and of course turning to fentanyl and other opioids, part of the opioid crisis. That St. Dimphna, we just heard something about St. Dimphna here on Relevant Radio, that St. Dimphna comes to their aid, and they also and their families find the power of St. Dimphna as this very powerful saint to help them with any kind of sadness, any kind of depression that they may be having in their lives.
Beautiful. So true. All right. Well, with that, let's begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, this first decade we have Carlos from Chicago, Illinois. Carlos, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on the chaplet.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have two intentions today. The first one is for my friend Michelle. She's been waiting for a heart transplant. Mm. And she's been waiting for a long time. So I'm asking for prayers so that she can get a new heart.
You got it.
My second prayer is for Thanksgiving, for the last pledge that we had, and thanks for everybody that was part of it. I feel.
That's right. Well,
we
lift up those prayers of Thanksgiving as well. It's always really humbling. You know, you can get kind of anxious. It's like, oh, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? And we always do. And it's a beautiful thing. Thanks to all of your help. So Carlos,
it is a beautiful thing because I feel like we're doing it together, you know, so I feel part of it, and it's the right thing to do.
It is. Carlos, God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll lift up your intentions today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. For this second decade, we're going to Brandy in Los Angeles. Brandy, welcome to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
Hi, Maggie. I would like to pray that I don't lose my job. I guess my job's at risk, and I just hope that I don't lose it.
Sure. We'll lift that up. Absolutely. Anything else, Brandy?
I guess for my family and my friend George and my friend Christina and for you and Drew and everyone at Relevant Radio.
Oh, thank you.
And Brandy, this is John on our Relevant Radio app, and it really helped me, and I know it will help you. We've got the prayer to St. Joseph the Worker. You know, pray that. You can play that many times. You can download that on the Relevant Radio app in the prayer tab, the prayer to St. Joseph the Worker.
All right. Thank you, John.
Wonderful. Brandy, we'll lift you up right now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. For our third decade, we're going to Mary in Chicagoland. Mary, welcome to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. How can we pray for you?
Oh, thank you, Maggie. Yes, I want to lift up a young man who is now homeless. He's living in a tent with a girlfriend, and he's turned away from his family and from faith and from everything. He's doing drugs, and he has some kind of mental illness as well, apparently. But we want to pray for his freedom from drugs and his conversion.
Amen. Amen.
And then... Yes, and we know that the Lord will have mercy on him. I also want to pray for my daughter who suffers anxiety and emotional issues, and also she's been struggling for years now with a swelling and redness that keeps coming around her eyes, and it actually distorts her face so much, and it's so hard for her. She hasn't been able to get the help she needs. So I'm asking Jesus to heal her, if it's just no. And then there's just one other thing. A friend, Anne, has been diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and she's had it removed, and she's on chemo and radiation, and I'm praying for her healing.
Mary.
So that's it, Maggie, and God bless you. You're doing a wonderful job.
God bless you too, Mary. What sweet prayers that you have. I'm sure that they're going to be heard by God. We want to lift up the homeless man that you mentioned who needs conversion and is struggling with drugs. I want to lift up anyone that is dealing with addiction. We talked, as John mentioned, about those who are addicted to street drugs, and a lot of times they get sucked into something that they never knew they would get into. I want to lift up the homeless. I want to lift up those who are experiencing health issues like she mentioned, the swelling around the eyes. So with our third decade, here we go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I have a couple of intentions coming in from Twitter that I'd like to voice here before we get to Kyle for the fourth decade. Christine wrote to us and she said, "We lost our pregnancy this weekend, but it happened at home and not by the procedure as I had prayed for. I'm trusting in God's will in our lives. Thank you for your prayers. Christine, we're lifting you and your husband up." Steph wrote to us and said, "God bless you all. Prayers for deliverance and healing of my family, to take hate and bitterness out of our hearts, that we might have family unity, and also for my dad to rest in peace. He died right after Thanksgiving. It was painful, but at the same time, I feel at peace because he's no longer in pain that he suffered for many years." Diana wrote to us, oh, John, this one was hard. Diana wrote to us, she said, "Please pray for the family of Isabella. Isabella is an 11-year-old sixth grader. Her mom dropped her off at school. Isabella walked around the front of mom's car, dropped her phone and stooped down. Mom didn't see and ended up running over her. She died on sight. And now we've heard that mom has been so beside herself that she's self-harming." Oh, I want to lift up Isabella's family. Joseph wrote to us and said, "Asking for prayers that our son will baptize our two grandchildren. They're 1 and 3 years old. Godspeed, Joe D." And lastly, Cheryl wrote to us and said, "I need prayers for my 3 grandsons. They're 7, 9, and 12. Their parents are going through a separation, and they seem to be losing their faith. I really need additional prayers for them to stay strong and lean on God for help through this difficult time." I want to lift up all those intentions, along with Kyle from Chicago. A lot of Chicago calls today. Kyle, welcome to the Chaplet.
Hello, Maggie. My prayer intention is I would like to pray for my mom's friend, Angie, who has liver complications.
Sure.
I want to pray for complete healing for her and financial help. And I want to pray for her friend, Renee, as well. My mom's friend, Renee, who also needs healing from cancer.
You got it. We'll lift those up right now. You got your spiritual family here praying for you, Kyle. God bless you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, last decade, we have Jim on the line from Miami, Florida. Jim, welcome to the Chaplet.
Maggie, thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited. My friend Paul, that was doom and gloom, and I started praying the Chaplet with you and Drew, and lo and behold, he went into surgery, optimistic that he would lose his sight and some other things, let alone his life, and they were able to get the tumor out and all the cancer out. And I have to say, he's putting weight back on, and he looks great, and they got all the cancer out. So it's amazing.
Oh, praise God.
It's just amazing. And I never prayed before until, I hate to say it, that's a bad confession, but the only time I prayed was when I was in church. Never prayed outside until I started listening to Relevant Radio.
It's not a bad confession, Jim. You're not alone. There's a lot of people out there like that. And actually, it's a beautiful thing that you would come to know what that's like, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I hear the stories and I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, and you're a little doubtful, but then when it happens to you, actually praying for two people, and the other person is stage four, and he's doing better too. So, I mean, I'm walking on air, and I don't know what to do next for our Lord. You know, it's something I'm on such a high because, you know, this prayer is, I'm really just taken back. I'm just so excited and so grateful. So thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jim. God bless you. I love hearing that hope. Don't you, John?
What a powerful witness, Jim. Yeah, pray more. And I'm looking in the mirror when I say that because, you know, just when we think we have, prayed enough or maybe checked all of the boxes, you can get in that comfort zone sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, pray more.
That's a beautiful thing.
And it's gotten me to the point, Jim, where those times when you're, you know, not at 100%, it's like, all right, I'm not going to go inside of myself. I'm going to pray. So I take out the Relevant Radio app and start doing Divine Mercy Chaplet or some of the other prayers up on the prayer tab.
Beautiful thing. Let's take just a couple extra calls. Jose is on the line from New Mexico. Jose, welcome to the Chaplet. How can we pray for you?
Thank you, Maggie. Yes, I need healing prayers for my daughter, Lucia. She's in her 50s, and she has had constant headaches. They finally had an MRI and found that she had three accidental head concussions. Oh. And she has even gone to Phoenix, and they still haven't found a cure for it.
Okay.
Her name is Lucia. She's in her 50s.
Lucia. We'll pray for her, Jose. Lucia. Thanks so much for calling in. Christina is on the line from Boston, Massachusetts. Christina, how can we pray for you?
Thank you, Maggie. Yeah. I would like to pray for the repose of the soul of my friend Nancy. She Noreen, she was recently diagnosed with brain cancer, and she died of multiple brain embolisms and taken off life support yesterday.
Wow.
And I'd like to pray for the repose of her soul and also for the miraculous cure of my cousin Iris, who has cancer. And I want to thank the Lord for all his graces. And I agree with that man. Relevant Radio has helped me pray more often outside of church. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. God bless you. We'll lift you up. That makes my heart happy hearing that. We had a lot of people calling in, giving thanks for Relevant Radio today. I personally pray for you all every day on my drive into work, and I lift up a decade of my rosary for all the listeners, who, especially those who pray with us, that God would hear their prayers. So with this last decade, I'm including all of you who write to us, all of you who are on the phones, all of you who send emails and letters. We're lifting up your intentions now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Pope John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Sapochko,
pray for us.
Blessed Fulton Sheen, is he blessed now?
Yes.
Blessed pray Fulton for us. Sheen. And pray for us. All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, your virtual parish.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, and thanks be to God for your faith. Hundreds of millions of memoraries have been prayed, and you continue to pray the memorare every single day for an end to abortion here in the United States. And of course, we saw Roe versus Wade get overturned in the Supreme Court, but really the work has only just begun, because now you and I need to get abortion overturned in our individual states. What's very interesting is this brand new study that just came out last week. It's from the Public Religion Research Institute. It's a nonpartisan research organization that has been tracking views on abortions. Now, generally, you would think that red states would be more life-oriented than blue states that would skew towards abortion. We've certainly seen that. But many Americans living in states where abortion rights are limited want more abortion rights. That's from this brand new poll. In many states where there are GOP lawmakers who have banned abortions, most residents say they support abortion rights in most cases. This is brand new research. The support for abortion rights continues to arise here in the United States. Let's go inside of that right now with Michael New, who is an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. Michael, welcome back to Relevant Radio.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
64% of Americans say abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and that is up in the last 13 years from 55%. What do you make of this mindset change, even in states where abortion is not legal, especially post Roe versus Wade?
Well, I think this whole poll is very misleading. I think if you look at the answer choices that people were given, it tended to kind of skew the results to kind of give the false impression that more people support legal abortion than actually do. So basically, to ask people kind of what they thought about abortion and what circumstances it should be legal. And the two kind of pro-life options it gave were that abortion should be illegal in all circumstances or illegal in most circumstances. And that tends to produce kind of low support for the pro-life position. There's other polls that I think have better question wording that I think indicate that most people, frankly, are pro-life. Gallup has asked polls about abortion. And the two kind of pro-life options they give are illegal in all circumstances or legal in only a few circumstances. When it's worded like that, you actually get much stronger pro-life support. 42 straight Gallup polls from the mid-1990s to a couple years ago show that a majority of Americans think abortion should be either illegal in all circumstances or legal in only a few circumstances. So question wording and answer options mean quite a lot. I don't think this poll is all it's cracked up to be.
But still, you know, we have seen some of those shifts in abortion attitudes over the last several years. So it's indicative of the work that we need to do, and we need to do starting in our own kitchens, through our communities, our parishes, up to our state capitals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Roe v. Wade, the reversal was a great day. It's not the end, though. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it may well be the end of the beginning. You know, we still have to kind of, you know, pass good laws in states that are sympathetic to the pro-life position. We still have to maintain our, you know, educational efforts. We still have to do things like support pregnancy resource centers. I think that, our work certainly is cut out for us. I mean, one thing that we did learn from this poll that, you know, should concern pro-lifers is the other side's a lot more motivated. You know, people who support legal abortion are a lot more likely to vote on that issue now after Dobbs than they were previously. So I don't think we need to despair, but we need to be clear-eyed. You know, our opponents are a little more energized, a little more active, and we just have to make sure we're stepping up our own efforts as well.
Michael New with us from the Charlotte Lozier Institute and also a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America, talking about this latest poll on abortion. You talk about those who are being pro-abortion being much more motivated. How do we get that motivation up among Catholics to stand up for life? Because that's always been the little fly in the ointment here, is that, we're not as motivated as we should be to stand up for these issues of life.
Yeah, I think that there's not, you know, a magic bullet out there that's going to, you know, get every Catholic out to, you know, start doing more pro-life work. But I just think it has to be a very grassroots level, you know, parish by parish, neighbor to neighbor, you know, encouraging people just to do, you know, a little bit more than they already are doing. You know, every time I speak at any kind of a banquet or any pro-life gathering, I always encourage people to look up a pregnancy help center by their home and support it, even just a little bit. You know, if everybody just stepped up and gave $5 a month, there'll be millions upon millions of dollars to groups doing great work helping pregnant women in need. You know, I don't think there is, you know, a magic bullet out there. And I just want to encourage people that, you know, we've done quite a lot of good. You know, since 1980, we've actually succeeded in getting the abortion rate down by more than 50%. So our efforts really have not been for naught. And right now we have exciting opportunities. We can do a lot more now that Roe v. Wade's overturned, and, you know, we need to take advantage of these opportunities. You know, now's not the time to fall asleep or despair. We can actually do quite a lot now. And again, in red states, we can pass laws, but even in blue states, you know, we can pray outside of abortion clinics. We can help pregnancy help centers. We can educate our friends and our peers. You know, if you're pro-life and you're bored, you're doing something wrong.
Thanks be to God, the pro-life group in our parish, and we go out every Friday before the local Planned Parenthood Clinic, which has expanded, as a matter of fact, its footprint in the last couple of years. And, you know, I've seen the changing demographic of those of us who go from the pro-life group, and it is getting younger almost by the week, thanks be to God. Sadly, though, we're the only parish in a pretty big community, and I want to say I think there are 8 parishes in the city in which I live. We're the only ones out there.
Yeah, I can sympathize with you. I help organize sidewalk counseling outside the Washington, D.C. Planned Parenthood. And, you know, I am heartened by the fact that, you know, more people are coming. You know, I teach at the Catholic University of America.
Right.
The Campus Pro-Life Group comes every Saturday. They do a rosary. They do a Divine Mercy Chaplet. And they're a real blessing. But there are days it can be, you know, a bit lonely out there. But, you know, I try to count my blessings. I'm grateful for the team I do have. I try not to envy the team I wish I had. And again, I just try to get people to do a little bit more. Can you come for 10 minutes? Can you come during the last 15 minutes, just have coffee with us?
Right.
You just have to kind of start just doing things incrementally. You know, again, I always wish we could, you know, do more faster. But sometimes we have to appreciate the gains that we have, in fact, made.
What are some of the stories, Michael New, you can tell from being in front of an abortion clinic where perhaps that encounter, and we know, and there's empirical evidence that shows that encounter with a young woman who may be going in to have an abortion, that encounter with someone who is peacefully praying in front of an abortion clinic can change a mind. What have been some of the success stories that you have seen in your experience?
You know, one thing I would tell all your listeners, you know, God uses everybody who shows up, including you. And, you know, a lot of times when something good happens, it's because of teamwork. You know, somebody notices something that somebody else missed. You know, one of my favorite stories is there's a woman who often joins us, and she prays across the street. And one day a car came up, and they saw her, and they pulled over to ask about parking. And she struck up a conversation with the people inside the car. But she doesn't usually have literature with her. So I ran across the street with some pamphlets. And the woman inside the car said, "I already have 5 kids." I told her, "I bet the 6th be just as much fun as the first 5. And she starts laughing. And then a nun comes running across the street. And the nun saw a picture of the Virgin Mary in the car. So she's talking about Mary. So everything's happening very quickly.
Wow.
I don't know who the husband was talking to, but the car drove away. We stayed for like about an hour afterwards. They never came back. So, you know, if that woman had not been there praying that day, you know, maybe the car just drives past. Maybe, you know, the clinic escorts get there first. But because she showed up and prayed, she started the conversation. You know, we helped finish it. And I think there's a good chance the life was saved that day.
Wow. What a remarkable story. Michael New joining us, an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. And we are talking about a survey that was published last week by an organization, a nonpartisan research organization called Public Religion Research Institute. It tracks views on abortion, and they're not terribly good, although, as Michael points out, and for those of you who have ever had a kind of questionnaire in research, you know that the person writing the question can skew the results. And that's what we believe is happening here, because 64% of Americans say abortion should be legal in or all most cases. And that's up from 55%. And obviously there are some Catholics in there, because when you go into a deep dive in this very thick report that Michael and I have both read, you see where Hispanic Catholics are standing up for life. And thanks be to God, Michael, with that growing demographic here in the United States, that number is increasing. Yet at the same time, it's not where we should be as Catholics in general here in the United States. You can join our conversation here on The Drew Mariani Show at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How do you have the conversation about life, these life issues, these critical issues in your own family? Because that's where the hearts and minds are going to change and start. Or perhaps you have spent some time in a pro-life group in your parish. What has been your experience? Because I know in sharing your story, we can motivate another Relevant Radio listener to get involved, to start that conversation with their kids, with members of their family, with perhaps someone that they know in their circle of friends who might be considering terminating a pregnancy. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Are you surprised that only 12% of Americans say Congress should pass a federal abortion ban? And, you know, when you go inside some of those numbers, Michael, you find that, especially with Republicans who generally stand for life, that number's pretty high.
Right. I mean, I thought the number would be a little bit higher, but you know, keep in mind, I think they gave people 3 choices. You know, should Congress legalize abortion? Should they leave it to the states, or should they ban abortion? And usually when you give people 3 choices, Americans kind of like to compromise. They choose the middle option a high percentage of the time. So yeah. Sometimes, again, it's a function of kind of what options you give people when they take these surveys. I think it does disappoint me a bit. You know, I do think that there are a lot of Republicans who should be showing a lot more leadership now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that states certainly, you know, have an important role to play, protecting preborn children, but Congress has a role to play as well. They shouldn't just throw their arms in the air and say, this is a state issue, and wash their hands of it. You know, there are things they, you know, can and should do. You know, I am glad that, you know, they are moving forward with some legislation to protect preborn children, you know, in situations where they are born after an abortion. You know, I am glad that, you know, there are some who are moving to try to put some permanent limits on tax-free funding of abortion in place.
Yep.
But again, I think that, you know, I'd like to see a little more leadership coming out of our Congress, especially our Republican Congress and senators, to do more on this issue.
And then we also see a number of judges, thanks be to God, who are standing up for life as well. There is this Texas judge who could soon force one of the major abortion bills, pills off the market nationwide. So, you know, we pray for, you know, his continued guidance from the Holy Spirit. And again, to change more minds of a lot of these judges who do really have that power to start turning around some of these things. A major abortion pill off the market nationwide would be would be tremendous, a tremendous victory for those of us who stand for life.
Yeah, absolutely. The number of chemical abortions has gone up quite a lot. According to the most recent data from Guttmacher, over half of all abortions are chemical abortions. Mm-hmm. And the chemical abortion pill was approved, back in 2000 by the Clinton administration FDA. And they really rushed it through. It didn't really go through the proper protocols that one would expect. And we know the chemical abortions are dangerous. They have a complication rate 4 times higher than surgical abortions. And we know the FDA data shows that since the chemical abortion pill has been legalized, there have been 28 deaths, there have been over 1,000 hospitalizations, over 4,000 adverse effects. There are some real health risks here that people need to be aware of, and we're all hoping and praying for a good judicial ruling of this court from Amarillo.
We know that you stand for life, and you have prayed hundreds of millions of memoraries to stand for life, to change hearts and minds. We've seen that, of course, over the summer with Roe versus Wade being overturned, but now it is something that is happening in our own state capitals, in our own communities. And in our conversation with Michael New from the Charlotte Lozier Institute and an associate, research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America, we want to find out how you are standing up for life, how you communicate the message of life in your own family, in your own parish. Are you involved in a pro-life group? Have you perhaps changed the mind and heart of a young woman who was going to have an abortion when you were standing in front of an abortion clinic? We want to hear your stories, because your stories will motivate other members of our Relevant Radio family to stand up for life. And this is really the grassroots issue and the grassroots way through Relevant Radio and praying the memorare all the way up to your actions in your parishes and communities that are going to change hearts and change minds so we stand up for life. Share your stories. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue here on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. You'll get some real Catholic answers right here.
Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew. He's back tomorrow here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and we're talking about how you and I stand for life. Michael New, our guest, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. There is a nonpartisan Catholic group, and as we go inside research that they've just done and released, it's called Public Religion Research Institute. It is not Catholic, but it's a nonpartisan research organization. I want to be clear on that. They just released information last week that show in all majorities of Americans in 43 states support legal abortion. But the point being made by Michael is the way they structured the questionnaire, they were asking the questions with the answers in their minds already. So some of this information, is kind of the canary in the coal mine. I don't think we can ignore that, Michael, because we see numbers that are going up with Americans who say abortion should be legal in most cases. And it also is indicative of the work that we need to do as Catholics. And that's what we're asking you at 888-914-9149, is how you advance that message of life in your own family, with your friends, in your communities, because this is how we're changing hearts and minds. Michael's in Yorkville, Illinois. Michael, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Thank you so much, John and Michael, and God bless you for all you do for life. Michael, I had a question. I had this idea, 70% of the women that see an ultrasound before, when they're in an abortion clinic, change their mind. So I printed out, had a copier and had it laminated, like a 2 feet by 3 feet picture of an ultrasound. And I wanted to stand out in front of the Planned Parenthood clinic in Aurora, which right across from there is a Waterleaf Women's Pregnancy Center. What would you say I kind of write underneath there on a separate sign when they see that sign that will cause them to have the Holy Spirit descend upon them and change their mind? Thank you for all you do, and I'll stay on and listen.
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I'm not really an expert about the kind of, you know, pro-life signage, you know, that's always most effective. I mean, I will say that, you know, ultrasounds are very powerful, but they tend to be very powerful among those who are kind of on the fence, who are abortion vulnerable, but still open to carrying the pregnancy to term. A lot of people we see outside the clinic, sadly, have their mind made up, and it's really hard to get their attention. You know, I always, you know, think that, you know, we should in general start by, you know, being gentle with people. You know, things that, you know, I think often, you know, make sense are that if you're having second thoughts, you know, we can help. You know, help is available. You know, we will care for you and your baby. You know, I think that we want you know, to show just compassion to the people going inside. You know, we don't necessarily want to shock them or antagonize them. We just want to basically be as approachable as we can. We want them to come up and talk to us with an open heart and an open mind. So those are kind of the things that, you know, I would suggest. You know, the exact wording, the exact language, I don't know what the best thing would be, but I just also know that, you know, it's important to have a happy, cheerful demeanor, be approachable, and as I always like to say, be a happy warrior for life.
One of the things that popped into our minds here in the studio, Michael, is God loves you and your baby. So maybe try that and then give us a call back and let us know, you know, perhaps you've changed a heart or a mind. Judy is in Minneapolis this afternoon joining our conversation with Michael New here on Relevant Radio. Hi, Judy. That's you. Yep, it's good to talk to you, Judy. So what do you do to change hearts and minds when you have that conversation about faith and, you know, perhaps you've been involved with the pro-life group in your parish?
I actually wore the little feet every day I taught in a public high school. And about the third week of school, one of the young ladies asked me, oh, why do you always wear those little feet? And I said, that's a baby's feet at 10 weeks in the womb. They can already wiggle their toes, and that's when most babies are aborted. Off the girl went to class. So about 6 months later, when I was teaching quadratic equations, I remember it very vividly, she asked me, where are your feet? Where are your feet? And I said, well, I guess I must have left them off today. I'm so sorry. After class, I asked her, what's up? You know, can I help you? She said, I told my parents they couldn't abort my baby because my baby could already wiggle its toes. You have to wear those feet. So wearing those feet and sharing that message saved one baby's life.
Wow. That is among the most powerful witnesses that we've ever heard, Judy, here on Relevant Radio. Are you still in touch with that student? I'm kind of curious about how they're doing.
You know, she did quite well. I helped her graduate from high school, and I haven't. In fact, this morning at a prayer meeting, I wrote her name in the column to try to see if I could look her up.
Wow. Well, if you do, call us back, because I know there's another chapter to this story, and thanks be to God that you were there and that you were wearing your little feet. Judy, thank you so much. 888-914-9149. Talking about support for abortion rights continues on the rise. This is at least from this new nonpartisan study that came up last week. There are other organizations like the Gallup poll that show that hearts and minds are starting to change and stand up for life. Thanks be to God. It's our conversation here with Michael New, a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America, and Kathy joining us in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that I wasn't always pro-life. In fact, in college, I was the worst. I didn't care one way or the other. What people did, and they make their own choices. And I worked at that time with a Baptist minister's wife who started praying for me. She thought that was the greatest sorrow she'd ever heard. And she just witnessed to me and prayed for me. And I'm a grandma now. And so over the years, I have become incredibly pro-life and can speak to it with people. But I think it's really important that we pray for those that just don't know and just don't see. And as far as the ultrasound that what to put under the sign, I think the best thing to put under that sign when you're standing out there is, are you sure? Are you sure? If you look at that ultrasound and you're trying to make a decision, are you sure? And the other thing I really like is I've recommended when people are standing to have baby blankets with them. There's something about having a baby blanket, an empty baby blanket, just as a symbol of someone here to welcome your baby if you can't, or to give you this blanket to welcome your baby, because it's such a beautiful thing, a child wrapped in a blanket. But we need to pray hard. Every memorial, praying that someone's heart will see with their heart.
That's so beautifully said, Kathy. Thank you, and I know you've inspired other Relevant Radio listeners. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much. 888-914-9149. Michael, it's very easy to get caught up in these numbers, and they're important numbers, and we have to keep tabs on all of these research projects on abortion. Yet, we see the power of prayer and the conversion of hearts and minds with that one-on-one connection that Kathy had with the Baptist minister that we've been hearing from our Relevant Radio listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of the important work of the pro-life movement does not make the front page of the paper. You know, it's the sidewalk counselor, the pregnancy help center director. These are people dealing with real problems every day. And it's just even, that the friend who, is a welcome ear to somebody who's facing a unintended pregnancy. So, again, it's oftentimes, the numbers, the data are all important, but it's really that personal connection that really makes a difference and saves lives.
Meet them where they are. Lloyd is in Bartow, Florida at 888-914-9149. Lloyd, welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you. I wanted to tell about my wife who volunteered at a pregnancy care center. When we were at church one day, a woman came to her and said, "I know you just started volunteering at this place. My niece is abortion-minded. She was raped, and I'm afraid she's going to have an abortion. I've tried to talk to her, but she just won't listen to me. Maybe if you could talk to her." So my wife, she'd only been at the pregnancy care center for a short time, but she was unintimidated and she was willing to speak up. So she talked to the girl, and the girl was scheduled on Friday before Mary talked to her to have an abortion ultrasound. And of course, in the abortion facilities, they never show you the ultrasound, but they have to have it to know how far along you are and what procedure to do. Well, the ultrasound was broken, so my wife told her, you think it's possible that the reason the ultrasound was broken today is because God does not want you to have this abortion? And the girl said, yeah, I kind of did think that. And all it took was just a simple little willingness to step out and speak to someone, a total stranger even.
Mm-hmm.
And you can share something simple like that. You never know what's going to turn a person's heart.
Yeah.
The baby was born drug addicted, but was adopted out.
Lloyd, thank you for sharing that witness, and thanks be to God for the literal life-saving work that your wife has been doing. And thanks for standing up for life and joining our conversation. Very quickly, let's go to Jesus in one of our brand new cities at Relevant Radio 104.9 FM in Tucson. Hi, Jesus. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're blessed to have you on. You have a recommendation of something to watch.
Yes, it's a movie called Unplanned.
It came
out in 2019. It's it promotes it's pro-life. It's pro-life.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's a very, very, very powerful movie, and I know we brought it into our parish. And when it first came out, we were talking about it, a great deal here on Relevant Radio. But you're right, and I'm glad you brought that up. And thanks for listening on our brand new station, and welcome to all of our brand new listeners in the Tucson Metro and Southern Arizona. Michael, thank you for leading us in a great conversation here, because we're talking about abortion rights and the numbers that are changing, and they're changing generally in the favor of people wanting more abortion rights. So it shows the work that you and I have to do, not only in praying memoraries, but the work that we have to do in our own families and our own communities to change hearts and minds. And you've heard what so many of our Relevant Radio listeners have done. And it's pretty simple to start changing hearts and minds. Michael New is the associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a research associate at the Bush School at the Catholic University of America. Michael, thanks for leading us in a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
On February 28th, 2023, it's so hard to believe we'll be in the heart of primary season just a year from today, Handicapping 2024. And one member of Congress who says, wait a minute, the United States of America, let's break them all up. Dr. Paul Kenger handicaps that in the next hour here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.